Let's begin this time with a word of prayer. Father, this day we are amazed. We're amazed that we're here, for what it took for us to even get up and to come here is beyond our comprehension. Physically, an ability for cars to drive, for us to be able to even be in this place is a miracle itself. But the miracle grows as, Father, you have saw and fit that today you've brought back family members. And we are so excited that you're a God that continues to draw your family together. We pray that, Father, that your Spirit will reign in such a way that our hearts cannot separate. But that, Lord, you just draw us closer and closer. We're also amazed because, Lord, there's somebody here today that does not know you personally. And you've drawn them here so that they could see your face. What an amazing miracle that is. They could be anywhere else in the world, but they're here this morning because your Spirit drew them so they could see you. And so, Father, we believe that, we trust that, we look at it with anticipation for that, and we pray that, Father, you will be glorified. I just pray anointing over Tiffany as she speaks today also, that, Lord, you will just bless her words and bless her heart as you are calling her out as your missionary. We love you and we trust you in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. Started out a service that, for many of us, a verse in the Word of God that is so common and so, I think, sometimes just read without even thought, as it was the last words of Jesus Christ on this earth to us, to his disciples, but to us, in that there is a greater call on your life than what is at your work, what is in your education, what is wherever you are. There is a greater call on your life, and that is a call by a God to stand up in his name in a world of darkness, to spread a light that cannot be stopped, cannot be stopped. And so if I were to sum up what the Christian life is, great name, what the Christian life is, it's this: living a life with a heart to please God, the creator of heaven and earth. Today is just an exciting day for me because it's a day of partnership. I got an email some months ago from Tiffany. And she said, do you ever think it'd be appropriate to talk about missions in church sometime? Because if you do, I'd like to talk with you. And so that's probably not exactly the words, but it really sounded good in my mind as I said it. But so for the last couple of months, I've been thinking about this, and I believe that God has brought today to be. So we're going to divide this up into two sections. We're going to talk about the theology of missions, which is my part, and the practicality of missions as Tiffany is on the verge of going out, and she's going to share some things I think are going to be very appropriate. And this, too, she's given me 20 minutes to talk. And everybody laughs. So as we think about the theology, I want you to understand something. It seems like a big word, but really it is only this. Theology is basically getting to know God. So if your heart wants to know God, you have a theological heart. And so you want to know him, and I hope that is what you're here today for. If you have a soak with you, you will have 8 points on the back of soak, and I'm going to go through those very quickly. And so you can use that soak to write notes or to just look at something again if it hits you, a title of it. So my first point going very quickly in it. Missions is the heart of God to reach the lost. Now, the definition of the lost is any human being that by choice or by ignorance is living their life apart from the original creator of their life, apart from the true God. Somebody, you know, there's been a question over the past years, does God really exist? Well, you know what? When you look at a watch, do you ask yourself if a watchmaker really exists? It almost seems stupid to ask that question. As a watch begs us to remember that there is a watchmaker, so your life begs the world to remember that there's a creator, and he is God, and he loves us. And his heart has always been to reach out. In Isaiah 42, it says, the 6th through 7th verse, I, the Lord, have called you in righteousness. I will take hold of your hand. I will keep you and make you to be a covenant for the people and a light for the Gentiles, to open the eyes that are blind, to free captives from prison, to release from the dungeon those who sit in darkness. Simeon at the temple realized this as he held Jesus Christ in his arms, and he says, for my eyes have seen your salvation, revelation which you have prepared in the sight of all nations, in a light for the revelations to the Gentiles. And Paul felt this in his heart when he was rejected by the Israelites, and he said these words. He said, I had to first speak to you of the word. Since you've rejected it and do not consider yourselves worthy of eternal life, we now turn to the Gentiles. Now, what's a definition, a modern day definition for Gentiles? Anyone who does not know Jesus personally. They are people that dwell in darkness because they do not know him. God's heart to reach out to every human being in all creation throughout all generations so that they have the opportunity to willingly come to him. That is the heart of God. Second, missions is a God who calls. Jesus said in John 20, 21, again, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I'm sending you. Do you hear it? As the Father sent me, I'm sending you. Do you hear it? I'm sending you. That's what the faith is all about. It's not about necessarily what you've gained, although you've gained so much. You've gained life, life eternal. You've gained power over sin. You can say no to it for the first time in your life. But more than that, you're being sent. You're being sent out by a God that loves you, and he calls you. The passionate heart of God calls his followers to follow him. It isn't the needs of the people that are the controlling factor in a missionary's heart. It is the command of their master. The perspective of God is a driving force for the heart of a missionary. It's easy to get caught up in the needs of humanity, their education, their food needs. But that is not the heart of God. The heart of God is the fact of feeding their greatest need, and that is the gospel to the heart of a human being. Oswald Chambers says the goal is to be true to him, to carry out his plans. Our focus on Christ keeps us in the midst of God's call and living out what he has commanded us to do. So he's a God that calls. Have you heard his call? Have you answered his call? Third point, missions is the secret of the God of new creation. The secret of the mission understands that God is still in the creating business. He doesn't want you just to become religious. He doesn't want you just to become a moral person. He wants you to be recreated in the image of his son. He wants your life to be absolutely new. 1 Corinthians 6:19 says, do you not know that your bodies are a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. John 17:6 says, I have revealed to you those whom you gave me out of the world, Jesus said. They were yours, you gave them to me, and they have obeyed your word. You are not your own. Are you living like that? Are you still just making your own decisions, your own choices? Because this is my life and I can do what I want with it. That is the greatest apostasy there is. The secret is that God, who knows a word before it's on your tongue, is the God not only who calls, but will only call those who he can write over their life, mine. Mine. The Bible says that God is a jealous God. He does not accept half-hearted devotion. You're either all in, you're not in at all. Because we are supernaturally changed by God. The secret of total submission is only found in the God who totally submitted his own life for us. Are you his? Are you? Point four, missions is driven by the God who knows you. John 13 says this in the 13th verse, you call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. That's a huge statement. I'm not just a moral teacher. I'm not just a good prophet. I am God. Verse 16 says, very truly I tell you, no servant is greater than his master, nor a messenger greater than the one who sent him. The omniscient God, who fully knows himself and fully knows all things actual, is the God who fully knows you. It is a missional knowledge that assures us of one closer than a friend who understands my most remote needs and fears and doubts and satisfies them. Yes, he does. Oswald Chambers says it means having someone who has made me secure in the knowledge that he has met and solved all the doubts, uncertainties, and problems in my mind. The knowledge of God is the guiding force to find my true place as his servant and messenger, knowing that I am being most in his image as I am following him. Point five. Missions is the God of elected purposes. Isaiah 49:5 says, and now the Lord says, he who formed me in the womb to be his servant. One of the greatest truths known to a missionary is the God of election. Not because it forms some kind of special group of people, but that it is foundational to the success of the missionary. Point in case, Jim Elliot was a pilot. I think God gave me this illustration specifically for this reason. He not only was a pilot, but he perfected something that I don't know any other pilot has ever done. He perfected the ability to fly his plane in a perfect circle so that a bucket could sit 3 foot off the ground and stay stationary. So his call was to Papua New Guinea. And so what the purpose of this was, as he flew in the circle, he put gifts, he put notes of encouragement and of the gospel. He put things in that bucket so that people that would come up from a certain tribe would be able to take out of the bucket, receive the gifts, and also possibly see his intention of being kind and coming to them. Now, why was this important? Because they were cannibals. Because they ate people. And so after a period of time of doing this, he decided it was time to land. So he took his small Piper plane, and he landed it next to a river that was close to the village. He got out of his plane, and some some natives came over and kind of looked him over and then speared him to death. Failure? In humans' eyes, yes. In God's eyes, no. It was years later that his wife went back to that tribe, and the whole tribe was converted to Jesus Christ. Total success, not because of necessarily of the gifting of the missionary, although it is a gift from God, but because God's elected purpose was fulfilled, even in the spearing of his servant. We have to remember that. We have to remember that. God has an elected purpose. There is not a human being that does not have an elected purpose by God. Not a human being. Point six, missions is the authority of God to work. Remember the verse that I said, all authority in heaven and earth has been given unto you. All authority. Oswald Chambers says, you cannot make disciples unless you're a disciple. God is the only universal authority that is able to make disciples. We can't make ourselves into something that's impossible for us to do. Only God can do that. Making converts comes from the pride of a human to try to get somebody to think their same thoughts. Making disciples is the freedom to allow God to do what he can only do by sharing the gospel, letting people go at times when they walk away, and believing that God can complete the work that he has started. And trusting him for that. And trusting him for that. So, people of God, as God walks with you, walk with others. As God talks with you, talk with others. As God mourns and rejoices with you, mourn and rejoice with others. Live life together. Let his life become your life so that he can make disciples that make disciples that make disciples. Seven. Mission's goals are done only in the name of Jesus Christ. 3 John 7 says, it was for the sake of the name that they went out, receiving no help from the pagans. God's heart and purpose was from the beginning to bring salvation through Jesus Christ. He didn't go when Adam and Eve sinned. He didn't go, oops, I didn't see that coming. I need to make a new plan. It has always been Jesus Christ. It is always about Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ is the goal of the plan. There's a verse in the Bible that says that, right? In 1 Corinthians 13, you can sacrifice your body to the flames. You can give everything you have away. You can do great things. But if they're not in Jesus, they're just a clanging cymbal. They're nothing. They're nothing. It is all about Jesus. And as we follow Jesus with our life, we lay sin aside. And we pick up the mantle that he has called for us, and we walk, trusting that he will lead us to where he's going, trusting that he would even maybe, for some of us in here, he's led us from serving adults at a foster home to serving children recently. Amazing where God can lead us. For other of us, he's led you into this place for the first time. For others of us, he's going to lead us to another country. God is amazing, and his mission goal are done in the name of Jesus. Finally, missions is the vision of the atonement. The vision of the atonement. Oswald Chambers says, a missionary is someone who is bound by marriage to the stated mission and purpose of his Lord and Master. He is not to proclaim his own point of view, but is only to proclaim the Lamb of God. As John the Baptist said, when Jesus walked up, he said, see, the Lamb of God, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. 1 Corinthians 9:16 says through the Apostle Paul, and this is the gospel, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. God's vision is not necessarily to heal our bodies or necessarily to give us success on this earth. His vision is for us to be transformed of our lives through the atonement of his Son, Jesus Christ. John 2:2 says he is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not only for ours, but also for the sins of the whole world. For humanity to come to that truth is revealed through the gift of faith that Jesus bore their sins, that he became the propitiation or the substitute and took our place on the cross, died the death we should have died, and arose again to bring new life. That is the gospel. This is the vision of good theology. Do you see it? Do you see it? Because if you see it, it won't let go of you. The grip of God is a lot stronger than your own grasp. The grip of God of the gospel of Jesus Christ is something that holds you, that shakes you, and you can never be the same. How is it that our lives can be the same? It can't be. How can eternity live in the heart of a human being and I can still stay walking the same way, doing the same sins, living the life that I think I own? It's a lie. And knowledge of God will explode that lie into the truth of the gospel that will change your life forever. And so to know the God of missions is to know the heart that reaches the lost, to know the one who calls you and to hear his call. His secret is found in new creation attitude. I'm not my own. I'm going to ask God the next time I go on vacation if that's what he wants me to do. Because he is my God and he tells me what to do. I understand that he knows me better than I know myself. I have an elected purpose and I want to live that out because my success is the fact that he has already chosen it. And it is his authority that is my ability. All things must be done in his name, and his vision is the atonement of my life and the atonement of everybody's life who will receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Do you believe that? Amen. Amen. Yeah, if you're a Baptist, it'd all been one time. If you were a Pentecostal, you'd have jumped out of your seat. But that is the gospel truth. The gospel truth. And so, as we have a good theology foundational to us, let's hear some practicality. So I'm going to invite Tiffany to come forward.
You've heard the verses that Wayne read from Matthew chapter 28. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations. Well, it was about 2 years ago now. I was in India, and I got to know a lady by the name of Sheila. And at the time when I met Sheila, she was a believer and was following Jesus Christ. But she told us about a time before she had moved to the city that I was in, before she had come to know Jesus. And she said she'd moved to this big city. It was called Vijayawada. And she'd gotten an apartment under the hill. And at the top of the hill, there was kind of a steep part. And on that steep part, there was some white rocks. And the rocks were in the shape of a cross. Some Christians had put them there. And she had been describing to somebody, where do you live? And she said, well, I live under that hill, underneath the giant plus sign. And they said, do you mean the cross? What's a cross? You see, Sheila had never actually heard who Jesus was before. She had never actually heard any of what he had done. Any of the good news of how he can bring us out of darkness and into his marvelous light. Nobody had ever told her. She had come from a small little village, and in that village, there were no churches that she could have seen a cross at and even walked into if she wanted to. She knew not a single Christian in that village. She's not the only one who has not heard or had not heard until that point. My prayer this morning, in the words that I want to say, is that somehow through the stories that I tell, through some of the statistics that I'm going to share, through a few practical ideas of how you can get involved in mission, my prayer is that you will see God's heart. That command that Wayne just described, how you see it is something he has told us to do. And he has such a love for the lost, such a love for each individual of wanting to bring them out of darkness and into light. How can we, who love him, not want to be part of that in whatever way possible? So my hope, my prayer is that these things I'm going to share with you will give you some of that heart. So to start out with some statistics, you know, when people have asked me about missions, I keep on saying, God has given me a heart for the unreached peoples. And yet there is a term, maybe you've not heard that term defined. What does it mean to go amongst an unreached peoples? There are some, like I described, who have never heard the name of Jesus. But there are also people groups where there are some Christians within them, but there are not enough to be able to evangelize that entire people group. So the Joshua Project is one that defines unreached people group as one in which there is no community of believing Christians large enough or with enough resources to be able to evangelize that whole people group without outside assistance. So to put some numbers on it, in the world, there are estimated to be about 3.2 billion people, 3.2 billion people in unreached people groups. Do you hear that? That is 3.2 billion people that may not have adequate resources or people within their own people group to be able to tell them about Jesus. Now, a people group, if I go out to the neighborhood here and I knock on somebody's door and they are from the Midwest and they speak English and I speak English and I start telling them about Jesus, there are no cultural barriers really holding that message back. But if I knock on the next door and the person in that house has just moved here from Mexico and they might speak a few words of English and I might speak a few words of Spanish, but you know, there's a real barrier between my effectively communicating the gospel. Now we have a different people group there because I cannot effectively communicate without either their learning my language or my learning their language, a cultural barrier. So when we have these people, the 3.2 billion people in unreached people groups, we have a great need for people to be willing to learn another language, to step out into another culture, to be able to do these things so that people can hear the good news. If you go to the first slide I have there, I have a couple of statistics that I just wanted to be able to put some numbers on there. So not only do you have the 3.2 billion in unreached people groups, but it is estimated that there are 2 billion that have not heard. Like Sheila hadn't heard. Had not even yet had the chance to hear the good news. Do you feel God's heart for these people? Do you feel his desire that they should know? And yet, when we send out missionaries, did you know that 90% of those missionaries go to reached peoples? Not ones that they're all Christians, but ones that there are enough Christians that they could evangelize to their neighbors. They could go out and reach their own people group. But only 10% of sent missionaries are going to those who do not have the resources and people necessary. And of the money, when you give money to missions, according to the statistics in the United States, evangelical Christians, of every dollar given to mission work, to the projects that are done overseas, to supporting missionaries, less than a penny. Less than 1% of that money goes to reaching the unreached. I want to tell you these things so that you get a grasp that there is a need out there It is not that there are have been so many missions and so much work done that there is now no very little need left in the world. No, I want you to get the idea that there is desperate need. In fact, in many of those languages and people groups, they don't even have a Bible yet. Because the unreached people groups are the ones in which missionaries have not yet gone into. They have not yet learned the language and not yet translated the Bible. So Wycliffe estimates that there are around 1,600 languages with a definite need for Bible translation. So you might ask, where in the world are all of these people? If you go to the next slide, you have a little bit of a visual. So the green areas on this map are ones where it is reached, where there is enough of an established church, there are enough Christians that it is possible to reach the people and tell everyone the good news if we're active in doing it. The yellow, it maybe has a nominal church. They probably could, but you'd really need to get everyone mobilized in doing it. The red, even if every believer in that area was entirely active in their work, they would still be unable in their lifetime to reach all of the unreached in their area. What they need is cross-cultural missionaries. You see how that all comes in the hardest countries to get into? You're talking the Muslim parts of Africa. You're talking the Middle East where all the crazy stuff is going on. You're talking India where, you know, I got turned around from in January. You're talking Southeast Asia where there has just been so much communism, closed countries, difficult places to get into. Okay, this is not easy to get there. There's a reason it's been hard. But they say that in South Asia alone, there are about 3,436 unreached people groups. In those people groups, we're talking a number of 1,708,000,000 people. Do you feel God's heart for these people? Do you understand that God loves them, that he wants them to hear the good news? Well, numbers, they're a little bit impersonal. I can say these numbers, and really, I don't even fully comprehend how many zeros are behind a million and a billion, and I don't do numbers super easily. So why don't I tell you a story? I have been a few times to the country of Myanmar. The clothes I'm wearing are from the country of Myanmar. Alana is also dressed that way. She was with me each time. And since most of you probably don't know where Myanmar is, if you go to the next slide, I zoomed in on the country a little bit, and you can see India is off to the west, China off to the north, you have the Indian Ocean down to the south, Thailand, you're in South Asia, Southeast Asia there. So Myanmar is a beautiful lost country. It is full of resources. It's got some of the great jewels that come from there, and it's got a lot of gold in that country, and yet the people live in poverty and in spiritual bondage. They are seeped in Buddhism, and you see their gold pagodas everywhere as they're trying to find their way to peace. But without Christ, how do we find peace? In the country of Myanmar, there is a people group called the Burmese people group. That is the largest people group in Myanmar, though there are many. And the Burmese people group, there's about 31 million people there, and they are considered definitely unreached. In fact, I looked to see, because I know some Burmese Christians. I was like, well, how many are there? I've been to several churches. Approximately 0.35% Christian. That is little over a third of a percent. That's a lot of people that don't know Jesus. So one of the people that I know from Myanmar is a man named Tong. Actually, he passed away a couple years ago, but he was passionate about reaching the Burmese people. He was of the Ditam Chin, so for him to reach the Burmese people, he actually had to learn a different language. He learned the language of Burmese and would tell us stories of the difficulties of that language, particularly when he was trying to communicate the gospel, how the gospel had such words in it. Oh, how do you throw this word in there? How do you talk about some of these terms? But he had gone into a little poor neighborhood and had started going door to door. and talking to people and getting to know them and telling them about Jesus. And when I got to visit him with Alana, he took us to the church that he had been able to plant because some people had come to know the good news about Jesus. It was a small little concrete room, couldn't have fit more than 30 chairs in it. But there were people there who had come to know hope and peace and life because they had heard the good news about Jesus. Or when I think of this country, I think of another missionary couple I know there, Pam and Zama. Now, Pam is from the United States of America, and God kept bringing her back to Myanmar over and over again. And she ended up falling in love with and marrying a guy from there, Zama. And he also had a heart to reach his own people. They started a school in that country. And by offering a high-quality education and saying, every child is going to have Bible class every day, and you are going to hear the good news about Jesus, they are able to share the gospel. Now, Pam has told me several stories of, we had some hard times with this person because they really didn't want us talking about Jesus to their kids in school. You know, they weren't really comfortable with our school programs when all the parents and families come telling the blatant gospel story with the kids acting it out. But she said, we offer a high enough education, they will bring their kids anyway. If they don't want to come to our school, they don't have to send their kids. But they are able to tell the gospel in that place. So, do you feel the heart of God? Do you feel his love for these people? Do you hear the call that Wayne talked about when Jesus said, go? Do you understand that if you love him, you ought to have the same heart that he has? So, how can you get involved? How can each individual person be part of what God is doing? You know, I pray that there are some among you who will be called to go cross-culturally, who will be called to go to some of these countries like Myanmar and to share the gospel. But not everyone is going to be. And that does not give you the opportunity to say, I don't have to be part of this. No, if it's God's heart, it should be our heart, right? So how can we become a part of it? Well, one of the things you can do is to support your missionaries. Support people who are going to unreached. You know, you can be part of going to some of these countries, be part of reaching some of the unreached, of making sure that the gospel is preached in these places by supporting your missionaries. Now, probably the first thing that comes to your mind when you hear supporting is money. You're telling me I need to give my money. Yes, that is a very good thing to do. That is very important. That is very beneficial. But there is so much more to it than that. When I was in India, there were many times of thinking, well, the majority of people have forgotten about me. It's easy just to get caught up in life. My world is now here. Their world is back here. How much do you really remember? Do you really care? But there was one lady in my church in Iowa. She's blind. Her name is Kay. She and I really didn't get to know each other when I lived there. But when I was in India, she would use voice to text to be able to send me emails. And she would ask, how are things going? How can I pray for you? And she would tell me all the little news in the church. Hey, so-and-so just had a baby. Hey, these people just joined our fellowship. Hey, you know, this is what's going on back at home. We miss you. We love you. That meant an awful lot to me. And I think that that would be true of just about any missionary to hear that there really is someone praying for you, someone saying, I haven't forgotten you, someone saying, I do care about what's going on in your life as you're working amongst dark places trying to tell the good news of Jesus Christ. It is not that hard to write an email. And yet, how often do we do it? Try to get involved with missions by finding some missionaries, writing them an email. And when you find out what's going on there, pray for them. You know, we've been talking these last weeks about prayer, the value of prayer, the importance of prayer. We've been hearing over and over again how big of a deal it is that we are talking to God. And you know, when we talk to Him, we are getting more of His heart, right? So we should be praying about these countries, about the missionaries there, about the believers that are there already in those people groups, that they would be able to make disciples who make disciples who make disciples. We should be praying actively for missionaries, for the unreached people groups, and giving financially. That money is more even than just the physical enabling someone to go. In fact, when you're giving that gift to someone, you're saying, I believe in your purpose. I believe that what you're doing has value. You know, you've worked hard for that money. You've worked hard for your income. And yet to give that so that unreached peoples can be reached is saying to God also, this is valuable to me. I have some of that heart. I want to give to this purpose. But it's not all about faraway places and faraway things. Actually, I'm skipping ahead. Did you know that there's actually one in our church right now who's going to be going to that country? And you can get involved in helping to send him there too. Aaron Novak, this January, is going to be going to Myanmar. So even this year, even right now, you can start to get involved in reaching unreached peoples. You can start to get involved in praying for him and the team that he is going with as he prepares. You can pray for him in January while he is over there. You can encourage him that he is doing good work. You can financially support him because it is not cheap to fly to the other side of the world. And you know, when thinking about money, I've gone on several short-term trips now and thought many times about just how much it costs to fly over to the other side of the world for 2 weeks, 3 weeks, a month and a half, 4 months, and then living in another country, although slightly cheaper than here, you're still dealing with hotels and eating out. And is it really financially reasonable to send someone overseas for a short period of time? Well, I was thinking about some of the work goes on here. And we all know that Chuck really has a heart to go door to door in our neighborhood. Well, what if I wanted to say, yes, this is a good work. I want to encourage him in it. I want him to reach many people. So here, have $3,000. How much is that really going to help him do his work? To be able to give the money instead. Whereas if I can come alongside him and say, hey, can you take me with you? I want to be part of what you're doing. I want to know what's going on. I want to be able to pray better for the needs that are there. I want to be able to then communicate those needs to the others that I know in other places. So when you're spending this money to send someone overseas, now maybe they might not be able to tell a Burmese person in their language the good news and see them come to know Jesus right then, but they are a short-term person can come and encourage the believers and say, we believe that what you're doing is good work. Be encouraged. Be strengthened in it. In fact, they can then see the things going on. Aaron will be able to see the needs there and come back and tell us, oh, you should really have a heart for what God is doing in Myanmar. Because he has seen it with his own eyes firsthand, and we get to see it through his eyes. Just like my telling stories of Tong and Pam and Zama is more significant because I have seen them, I have met them. So when we walk along together, it is significant. In fact, that is one of the things I want to encourage you to be doing every part of your lives right now. Coming alongside of people who are doing it. So You might say, how can I reach lost around me? Do you realize that there are still many people in our neighborhood that do not have the hope of Jesus Christ? Do you realize that you still have coworkers and friends that you need to be talking to? Are you willing to be bold to have those conversations? Are you willing to step out because you have the heart of Christ? Because Jesus loved me so very much that I want to share that love with everyone? You think, okay, so how can I do this practically? What if we were to come alongside one another and say, hey, have you talked to anyone this week? You know, I have been having some difficulties with that. Or like Alana has shared with some of us before, she prayed, God, give me opportunities to talk. And then someone would bring Jesus into the conversation and suddenly, I'm not sure where to go with this. This is rather intimidating. But what if we were together? What if we were talking to someone together and we could encourage each other together? What if we were doing it alongside of one another and saying, okay, I'm a little nervous, you're a little nervous, but together we can motivate each other to go forth and to tell these people the good news. You know, that's one of the things I like about UCAN Ministries. So every month we get to go out and knock on doors. And okay, knocking on doors can be a little intimidating. Or a lot intimidating. But when you go with somebody else who has that passion, when you go with somebody who has that heart for the lost, when you go with somebody who does want to see this neighborhood around us come to know the good news, the hope that is in Jesus Christ, when we do that together, we can have courage. This week, at Young Hearts Bible Study, we were talking about how important it is to encourage one another, how even Paul wanted to be encouraged by hearing what was going on in Ephesus, and how he had sent his friend to be able to encourage that church there. This should be our goal, to be encouraging one another. And then he also asked, pray for myself, for boldness, that I might fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel. Are we praying for one another? Are we praying that each one of us would have that boldness to fearlessly proclaim the mystery of the gospel? So you can get involved with missions. You can get involved with reaching unreached peoples by being a missionary, by supporting a missionary, by sending those emails, by praying for people, by supporting them financially. You can get involved with the heart of God by talking to your neighbor, by talking to your friends, by talking to those who don't know Jesus, by going out each month on UCAN Ministries, by coming alongside each and every one of us in this church, coming alongside each other as we have family here, encouraging each other to be part of this heart. But don't forget the motivation, Wayne said, that is behind a missionary's heart. It said it was God who commanded. It was the Lord who said, go. It was his word. Do you love him? Will you obey him? Will you listen to his call? Will you have the boldness to speak? Will you pray? Will you go forth? Will you be a missionary?
You know, one of the great joys of being a pastor of a church is you get to see you watch a family grow. And one of the great joys is to see God's heart percolating in the heart of a human being, both unto salvation and both onto accepting the mission of the call. But I'm just going to tell you, one of the hard things is to let them go. It's hard. You know, it's so easy to want to kind of hold on to what's here and to kind of just protect it. But that's foolishness. Because God is not calling us to come together just to stay together. He's calling us to come together to go out and to share the good news with the world around us. And so we're trusting at the pier that as God releases you all to be missionaries, that he'll bring others so they can be encouraged to go, and others, and others, and others. That's his job. Our job is to send forth. So would you, as the praise team comes forward, would you pray with me over Tiffany? Father, thank you. Thank you that the theology of knowing you is a theology that you know us and that you love us and that you have an elected purpose over our lives, and that, Father, that in that we experience your heart. We desire your heart over our own, and we desire to do what you're calling us to do. And Father, it is in the name of Jesus Christ that we're able to, that we're empowered to, that we have the authority to. And so, Father, we come today and we thank you for Tiffany. We thank you for her life. For, Lord, she has been a blessing to us and a blessing to encourage us, not just today, but her life has been a blessing to us. And we're thankful for that, for we are different people because she's been amongst us. Lord, as she gets ready, as January comes, Lord, we just pray over her life as she goes back for additional training through MAF, that, Lord, you'll just bless it, that you will strengthen it, that you will give her a vision, and that, Lord, they will know exactly where she is to be called to go. Father, we do also want to pray over Aaron, as it has just been revealed, as we've just learned in the last couple weeks, that his life is being called out for a month in January also to go. And Lord, we just bless him. Lord, you're a good God. Father, this is a train station. It is an airport. And we are called to come and to go, whether that's local or whether that is global. Father, may our hearts experience your heart. May our hearts hear your call. May our hearts be heated with the passion that you have for the unreached people, for the lost, so they may hear. May we do it locally, and may we do it globally. In the name of Jesus Christ, and to all God's people said, amen. 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 Can you see him? There's somebody here today that is on him for the first time. Your heart has been moved by the heart of God. Do not stay quiet. Come, make a stand for Jesus Christ. If this is the first time, make a stand for Christ, even at this moment, so that you can be counted amongst those who are walking with the Lord. But somebody here also has heard the call to missions. It's the first time. Your life has been going in circles because you have no idea what your life has been about. You've been working, you've been making money, that's great, but really it has had very little meaning to you. And for the first time you realize the reason for that, because Christ has been calling you to missions. He's been calling you to go out. Don't sit on it. Bob Overhoff tells us that he read a book called The 10-Second Rule. When you hear the heart of God, respond in 10 seconds or less. Don't go longer. That's just pride, trying to hold on to something that you cannot hold on to. I think that was Jim Elliot who said that. It is a fool who holds on to that which he cannot. I'm not saying that right. How do you say that?
Hold on to what you cannot keep in order to gain what you cannot lose.
Yes. That she said it. Yes! We're not supposed to hold on to our life. We're supposed to let it go. Thank you, God, that you slayed all the Dutch people today by starting late. Thank you, God, that you honored all the Hispanic people who know what it is to start late and loves it because they like to party. They love to talk. And, Lord, bring us together as one people so that we can be a people that just loves each other and walks together. Go because you're loved. Go into a world that needs him and be a light into this world. Amen? Amen. Amen. You are blessed.